This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So Cooley jumped on my podcast yesterday for a little bit. I gave him some homework, and he finally got around to it the other day, which was... just watch Jaden Daniels. Just watch the one series against the Jets, the two series against the Dolphins, and, you know, do your film breakdown. Tell me what you think. And so he shared thoughts on a lot of stuff, but I want you to hear the part about Jaden Daniels. So here it is.
I think he's everything that you hoped he would be. One, he looks really, really comfortable back there. And we'll talk about some of the other, the finer parts of it, but I think he looks really comfortable back there. His arm is live. He gets the ball up and out quick. He's got a ton of velocity on it. I think he can throw with great accuracy, but it comes out quick. You watch his release point, and you watch just from up and out, wow. And his ability to drive a ball across the field, which you've seen multiple times in these two games, throwing hitches to either side of the field, is really there. You don't see a lot of shots down the field, but in the first game, the first third down, he takes a shot down the right sideline. That's an absolute dime. Just drops it in the bucket.
Do you know the context of that play? It's funny because when you just watch the All-22, you don't know this. So he checked to that. It was a bubble that was called. He checked to the all-go, all verts, and they weren't happy about that because they didn't want him checking to any sort of drop back because they had a limited skeleton offensive line in front of him, and they didn't want to put him at risk, but he did it anyway.
They don't want to put him at risk. They're running zone read.
I know, that's true. Good point.
So, I mean, what he's pulled it three times in two games.
Right.
And
but so on that on the shot to De'Ami Brown, I just didn't know if you knew that there was a lot of discussion because it was an audible. He checked to it. He said that the bubble was dead, but Kingsbury and Quinn basically told him going into this game, we don't want you checking to any drop back.
In one series.
In one series. But he did anyway.
So he's really coachable.
Well, a lot of people were like, well, that's not a good sign that he basically did something his coaches didn't want him to do. I actually kind of liked it because it was still a very quick drop, and he knew he was going to get rid of it pretty quickly. But it was also empty set.
Yeah. He saw a coverage where he had a one-on-one look at a go ball down the field, and he said, I'm going to take three and let it fly.
Right.
If you tell me that he checked to that, All he's got to do is hold the safety for the millisecond, which he did a very good job of on the play. Hold the safety with his eyes for 1 second and take the shot. That said, he did take a hit on it. He did get hit as he let it go. He's under pressure. He gets banged into the side as he's letting it go. So it's an accurate ball under pressure.
Yeah.
I liked in the first game, second game as well, their pistol, their gun, their under center. Really, Kingsbury, I think, we'll see how it goes when they get to the regular season, but it looks like the principle of what they have here is let's get the ball out of his hands quick. Let's get the ball into playmakers' hands. Let's get the ball out of Daniel's hands quick with not a ton of big-time decisions right away. Like screens, easy stuff, ball out on the edges, let him run with it. I like that principle with him. He's not quick or fast. He's both. His mobility is going to be an unbelievable asset for this offense. An offense which, by the way, has dudes. You look at Washington's offense right now, and I think they'll struggle up front some, and that's probably their biggest concern. But you got two solid backs in acquiring Eckler this year. I like having Ertz in as a safety blanket. The new kid's phenomenal. He'll end up being your two. I can't imagine he wouldn't be their two. De'Ami Brown, Terry McLaurin, Josh Dotson.
The new kid, you're talking about Sinnott. You're talking about Sinnott, the guy that looks like you.
Ben Sinnott's going to end up being your two. So I can't imagine he wouldn't be the two, but we'll just. To me, there's a plethora of offensive weapons for Daniels to work with.
God, interesting.
And for Kingsbury to play around with, to not have to go, let's go. We got to find a way to protect here. Let's keep the back in extra. Let's keep the tight end. Let's try to get down the field with three guys. Maybe we can find a hole. And if not, you got to check it down. I think you got enough dudes. When you start moving around with formations, motions, different looks, that you can just pop it out of his hands. And then that's where the mobility becomes even more of a problem, because now you're like, I don't know the release point of the ball, the timing of this, and we also have to account for this quarterback running. I think there's a lot of stuff that they can do with this offense. I think it's going to be a pretty talented offense if they can continue to run the ball. And in the second game against the Dolphins, they did have some good runs. I think mixing some stuff in, it looks like a very competent offense. But mixing some stuff in, they'll be able to run the ball. So here's my thoughts on Daniels, right?
Yep.
The couple throws he missed, like he missed a screen in the first game, like just throws a bullet at the back. It's his first, I know it's preseason, but it's his first throw.
Right.
Throws it over his head. He misses a couple throws in the Dolphins game, like misses a flat out to the left. And really, ultimately, when you look at it, if you watch his feet, it's almost like teaching a little kid to play baseball. Like, You want your body in line with where you're trying to throw the football. His feet are stepping laterally instead of driving his front foot at the target. And he's got the arm strength, and it's not that he can't do it, but that's where he's messy. When he's not setting his feet, driving off his back foot, getting his body in line with his target, those are his couple misses.
Well, yeah, the first one was the play before the check on the third and six in the Jet game.
Yeah.
He just sailed one over Eckler. The second one was in the Miami game, but the third one was the deep shot on third down with, you know, where he basically just threw one towards the sideline for Terry, where he was unloading the ball, it looked like, to save field goal range. I actually thought on that play, the check down
was Eckler. You're talking
about
the Dolphins game?
Yeah, the Dolphins game.
Yeah, so I actually didn't like that throw. He's throwing that fade to Terry. They end up running into a cover two look, and that's what everyone calls the honey hole, or you know, the pocket between the corner and the safety. You got to if you're going to throw that ball, you got to drive it on him, or you're just throwing it out of bounds. But he had a shot. I don't know if he saw two or not. But if you're going to throw that fade ball, you got to drive it on McLaurin. I think he lets it go right as the corner sloughs off on it. So I think he thinks it's probably quarters or a cover four look that he's not going to get as much safety help. That floater, if that gets a little bit softer, that's a pick ball or a big-time layout ball from that safety coming out there. That's the only decision I didn't like.
Did you see what I saw? And I could be wrong. But it looked like the checkdown was Eckler out of the backfield, you know.
And that
was actually, if he didn't feel good and there was pressure, they overloaded the one side and there was pressure. There was an unblocked rusher, which is one of the reasons he got rid of it quickly. And remember, context was they're in field goal range. If he gets sacked, they're out of field goal range on that play. So I thought that part of it made sense. But doesn't he have to get to Eckler on the check down and then it's an easy first down?
Well, he can get to Eckler, or he can just try to drive the ball into the hole between the two corner and safety. And I'd just like him to understand that he was definitely throwing into cover two there, right, which he could say that he did, and they can all say that they know it, but the ball doesn't show that he did. That said, though, they have another third and down and long where he saves a field goal, and he goes all the way through his progressions, and he gets to Bates in the flat.
Right.
And does hit the check down on a third and long.
Did you like that? Because that was another in field goal range, at a field goal range if you get sacked, and it didn't appear on the all 22. It was like there were seven in coverage, right?
Yeah, I love that throw, and I love that throw because as he gets to it and the timing of the throw, if Bates happens to break one tackle, then we're giving ourselves an opportunity to get a first down or to get to where you could go for it on a fourth and three or fourth and four.
Right.
So I really liked that throw. And I honestly liked almost everything I saw. Like the hitches that he's throwing, just strikes. Putting it on receivers in timing consistently throughout the day. I want one of the zone reads I would like to see him have gotten down, even in the regular season when you achieve the first down. Like, we don't need to take a hit. We do not need to get tackled here.
Right. Yes.
But that said, you can clearly see it's almost like Robert-esque. From 2012, as he gets just outside the tackle, he's incredibly fast.
Yeah,
he can really roll. So, yeah, I think a lot to like from the first couple games. It looks like the preseason, but it's still like I feel like the MO is get the ball in the hands of the receivers, get the ball out of Daniel's hands quick. Let's go make some plays. Let's continue to work up tempo. Bet they'll be faster up the years. They're doing a lot of that stuff. So we went through a couple of them. You know, one, I don't love the one of Terry. You said Eckler is the check down. I like that. But then on another third and long, we do go all the way through 1, 2, 3, 4, left or right across the board. We hit the tight end Bates in the flat. And we survive to play another down. And we kick a field goal.
Yeah.
I think it was very exciting to see what you saw.
All right, so a couple of questions for you. First of all, when you said they've got a plethora of weapons, let me just update you on sort of a theme of the last couple of weeks. Terry is their number one wide receiver, and they, after that, have no clarity on who is number two, and there's a lot of discussion about Jahan Dotson summer. They, for whatever reason, they don't seem to be in love with him right now. They like the kid Zacchaeus, number 14, as a slot receiver. They've played Diami Brown a bunch. But, I mean, after Terry, I mean, I think Jahan Dotson's a weapon, but I don't know if, for whatever reason, it's working with him right now. Plethora of weapons offensively. I love Brian Robinson Jr. I think Zach Ertz is going to be big because he's a veteran and he's a huge tight end. Your doppelganger, Sinnott, looks exactly like you and looks like he's going to be really good with the ball in his hands. Did you see any of his catches and runs after catch?
No.
Oh, my God.
I watched exclusively. I actually meant to, and I will.
Okay.
But I watched the quarterback.
I guess a plethora of weapons is interesting.
Okay, let's go. Here we go. I'm not saying that they're the all-time best wide receivers in the National Football League. I mean, Terry's right there. I like Jahan Dotson. I don't know what's going on with him, but I think he's a true vertical downfield, double move kind of weapon. In this tempo, a lot of problems with the quarterback running, mobility issues. If I have a one or a guy who can act as that can run a dig and go or run a comeback and go or run anything, you know, a post corner, that I can win over the top because safeties are sucking up, and he can because I've seen him do it, and I know he's got the speed to do it, then he becomes a problem in that fashion. He might not be the guy that we're going to throw the slip screen to. He might not be the hitch guy, but he's the guy that you go, this guy can be a big problem over the top. He's got that ability.
You think he's got not DeSean Jackson ability, but that
proven to have that.
I understand, but that it's that kind of similar threat at his best that you'd like to see him be that kind of a threat to a defense.
I agree. Yes, he becomes a vertical down the field big play threat.
Right. Yeah.
In what you're creating off a run action pass or problems where you're having to overaccount for quarterback and all of the underneath stuff. That you say, look, we're going to put a corner on him. We got to D him up. We're not going to bracket him. We're not going to play him heavy over the top. And until he's going to prove that he can win, he's out on an island. And I think he's an island guy.
Right.
But the weapon, like, you think about it. Look, we haven't seen a ton from De'Ami Brown, but he's a guy that can make some plays. I like De'Ami Brown. Sinnott and Ertz are both solid at tight end. In terms of playmaking ability, I think Sinnott's going to be a guy that they pick their spots for. They find different places for him. He's going to be a guy, in my opinion, that's 30 catches this year plus. And you see the run after the catch, and you see the ability with the ball in his hands, and he makes some plays for him. That's still, you put Ertz and Sinnott together, and you have, if Ertz is healthy through the year, you get a tight end group that adds 60, 70 catches. That's a plus. Robinson Jr. is a stud, and Austin Eckler coming in at back can do a ton of different stuff out of the backfield with what they're trying to accomplish with the quarterback. I think that they have weapons.
I think Brian Robinson Jr. is going to be a big feature of what they do, and it's going to be, you know, a lot of the dual threat, zone read threat, where he's going to feast on some of that. I think he's going to have a big year. The other thing you obviously picked up on, and I think all of us did, is just that what we saw in 15 pass attempts was basically 13 quick game throws, you know, screens, hitches, line of scrimmage throws, etc. And I think that will be a big part of the offense. I think up-tempo, pace, you know, zone read, all of that's going to be a big part of the offense. I think he's holding back, though.
Yeah.
A lot of this, the drop back part of the game and the boot part of the game and a lot of the play action stuff. So you agree with that?
100%.
Yeah.
You want to walk into week one with everyone thinking that you're not sure you can protect your quarterback in terms of dropping back and throwing the ball. Putting it out in the running back's belly, pulling it and going, oh, look, we're taking a shot 45, 50 yards down the field. You never saw that. Probably why they didn't want to check to four verts, more so than they were afraid that they couldn't protect him for 2.1 seconds. They probably don't want to show truly what he can do on the NFL level throwing the ball down the field.
That's an interesting take, that they didn't want to have him check because they didn't want to reveal anything about what he can do.
Yeah. Check the mesh or basic cross or just check to one of those, but don't throw the post or don't throw the rail on it. Check to the shallow. Want to throw the bubble.
That was a great throw, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. It was a great catch, too.
Great catch. What did you think of the, you know, the staple 2012 zone read look play action to Bates in the Miami game, the quick throw? It wasn't, you know, the perfect throw, but it was, how many times do we see RG3 throw that to, you know, in that drift route that you talked about to Pierre and everybody?
Oh, is that the pop pass? Is that the tight end? That's right down the middle.
Yeah, it was Bates.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a great look. It's that tight end pop pass. He misses him a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's...
But it's off the zone replay action.
Yeah, it's just off that, well, or inside zone, whatever.
Yeah.
It's awesome. There'll be a lot of opportunities for them to open up the field with Daniels. And that's the other aspect of this. When you talk about weapons, I think you have weapons around Daniels because he's ultimately the number one problem.
Are we going to be able to get you to get into this season, their season, because you, like me, believe that Daniels was a home run pick and is going to work out? So now you've got a bit of a vested interest in Daniels playing well. Will this motivate you to watch Washington games?
Yeah, I think it'll motivate me to watch Washington games. It just, not having certain people there motivates me to watch Washington games.
Yeah, it's not the same people there anymore, so you feel a little bit better about it.
Seriously, whatever. Actually, cheering for that team to win games makes me want to watch Washington games.
Right.
Having this back in my mind, root against different people, is not what I like. This wasn't the players, by the way.
Right. I know.
So, yeah, I think I'll be much more interested in watching Washington games. The other aspect of it, it might be fun to watch Washington games when they play good football.
Yeah, that means
that's
something.
That's a big
people.
Difference. It's been hard to watch Washington games over the last couple years because it's just idiotic.
Washington games have not been fun to watch, but Washington games might be fun to watch now. But I don't anticipate that you will get any gear of the Washington new nick, you know, 2-year-old new nickname. I don't think you'll be wearing Commander's gear. It's hard for you to even say it like it is for me.
It's just not, it just doesn't make sense to me, but that's okay.
Yeah, I know it doesn't. It doesn't make sense to a lot of us. All right, I know you have...
It's fine for what it is. It is. It's fine for what it is. It's just Washington.
I'm into Jaden Daniels and Quinn, and I think... So I have two predictions on the show today, and we'll talk again before the regular season begins, I'm sure. I'm talking about on the podcast. Number one, Jaden Daniels is going to succeed even as a rookie. That there's going to be... It's going to be obvious at the end of 17 games that they got it right. And then the other prediction I have is you are consistently all year long, if you're watching this team, you're going to be really impressed with Cliff Kingsbury as a coordinator.
I think those are two incredible predictions.
Are they going to be accurate?
If they're accurate, and then you put another prediction together, which is I like what they acquired defensively, and Dan Quinn's really good at that, that they're top 15 in defense, it'd be fun.
I didn't tell you this, I don't think. Maybe I did. I predicted 2 weeks ago on the show, I said, I have a hunch, and I'm going to share it with everybody right now. It's not my official season pick, because that'll come, you know, before the first weekend of the regular season. But I think Washington is going to go 10-7 and make the playoffs. It's the most optimistic I've been about a season since Kirk was here in 2017. I think that, and it's all based on my belief in Daniels primarily, but also my belief in Dan Quinn to coach up a defense that basically nothing was coached up last year. These guys were on their way out. We all knew that. And they've added talent, Luvu and Wagner and Chin, and I think Duran and John will be back to playing at a high level.
Dante Fowler, I think Mikey Sandstrom's a stud. Forbes is a guy that was there that can absolutely play for him.
They love Sandstrom, just so you know. They love him.
Yeah, everyone loves him.
It's the position.
He was my favorite guy to watch. I think he's been one of my top three or four favorite defensive players to watch in a college film breakdown.
Yeah. You love
star.
All right, I know you got to go. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk again soon.
See you, Kevin.
Chris Cooley, everybody, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. There was more with Cooley. A lot of it was not necessarily football related, but you can listen to that on the podcast, wherever you get my podcast. Charch, we begin another season with Paul Charchian talking fantasy football. He joins us next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter, Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com is our good friend Paul Charchian, back for another fantasy football season. He'll join us every Thursday in this spot, right around 11:25, 11:30. He can be followed on X, on Twitter, at Paul Charchian. He's got podcasts called Chop and Fantasy Football Weekly. You can get those podcasts wherever you get a podcast. And he is the director of the Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com, not to mention all of the radio he does. How have you been? I've missed you. I love our conversations. And having you back on means it's our favorite time of the year almost.
Yes, fantasy football is, you know, that's, you know, we love
just football.
I know you love the betting side as well, but yeah, football in general. And I love that, you know, you and I have done this for a long time, Kevin, and we get to just freewheel, talk about whatever we want and go any place we want. It's fantastic. And by the way, kind of excited about your football team for the first time in years.
Well, I'll remind you, Charch, you were pretty bullish this time last year on Sam Howell, Eric Bieniemy in the Washington offense, right? Or am I remembering that incorrectly?
Well, Howell, yes, I was. I was excited for Sam Howell. And I do think that he got done dirty by Eric Bieniemy. I hated the way they used him, and you heard me complain about this all year long. Just setting him up in that pocket to get sacked so many times, never using the mobility that Sam Howell had at all, which I think was leaving a lot of variables on the table that he could have won with. And you know, I just felt like they needed to put a first-year starter in a position to make easier, shorter passes instead of sit in the pocket all day, try to make big things happen and set the kid up for whatever, 60 sacks. I didn't like the usage, and I still think Sam Howell's got a future in this league, but that's it's revisionist history, I suppose.
By the way, with Charch here, we have big breaking news related to our football team. Jahan Dotson has been traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. Schefter just reporting that Washington is sending Jahan Dotson and a fifth-round pick to the Eagles in exchange for a 2025 third-rounder and 2 seventh-round picks, per sources. Wow.
What a fall from grace for Jahan Dotson, former first-rounder, who flashed amazing talent at times, and especially as a deep receiver, and had found himself languishing this offseason, and obviously the new coaching staff comes in and apparently felt like there was not going to be a place for him. That's amazing.
So, Charch, a little bit of context, and you can talk about anything in the moment because you're such a big football fan, but there has been a conversation about wide receiver two here for about 2.5-3 weeks. It was clear that for whatever reason, and I think I've got a sense as to what the reason was, Jahan Dotson had fallen out of favor with Cliff Kingsbury and the coaching staff. And the emphasis that Dan Quinn, when asked about this over the last couple of weeks, put on competition, urgency, playing it out, even when you know the ball's not coming to you. They're trying to establish a culture here, and for whatever reason, Jahan Dotson was not fitting in. And, we've talked, several callers have suggested, will they cut him? They were never going to cut him because there was trade value in Jahan Dotson. But let me just say, when you trade a player that was a first-round pick just 2 years ago in the division, you're not that worried about him hurting you. So they trade Dotson and a fifth-rounder in exchange for a third and 2 sevenths. So you basically take the fifth and the 2 sevenths and wash it out. They're getting a third-round pick for Jahan Dotson in 2025.
That's a steal, honestly, based on the career trajectory for Jahan Dotson, who would have been buried on the bench. And you get a third-rounder, that's honestly way more than I thought he would have garnered. If you'd asked me coming into this call, what Dotson was going to be traded, what would you get? I would have put it firmly into day three, fifth round, sixth round, seventh round pick based on what we had seen. I think that's a job well done, honestly, by Adam Peters, right? Your new general manager.
I actually, when we talked about it, I think Denton, right, last week, I actually said, look, there's a third or a fourth rounder probably from somebody for Jahan. So the third is, look, I agree with you. I don't know if it's a steal, but I think it's good value back for a guy that clearly they had soured on. And again, to do this within the division, look, they've now, in this offseason, Saquon Barkley, I'm not putting Barkley and Jahan Dotson into the same class, but I'm thinking about their receivers. It's Brown, it's Devontae Smith. Who did they have as a third receiver this year? I've got to pull up their depth chart because I can't remember.
Yeah, you're talking about for the Eagles? They've got John Ross, who's just cheap speed. Paris Campbell, who's been hurt most of his career. So, they were really thin behind A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. And so I can see where they wanted to bring in more of an established veteran, and only a couple of years in, but really the Eagles depth chart was really, really thin behind those two guys. So from their side, I guess it makes a certain amount of sense. And Howie Roseman is probably the best GM in the league. So, he's not going to make a lot of missteps, right?
Right. I mean, look, this all of a sudden, the Philadelphia situation and the discussion about Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts last year, Charch, to me has been a revelation the last few weeks. I don't think a lot of fans knew that they were at odds as much as they apparently were. But this is clearly the Eagles need a quick start for Sirianni, or I would think that he's in trouble. But real quickly, I loved Jahan Dotson's talent. I just had Cooley on the show. Cooley loved Dotson coming out. He still thinks he's a legit deep threat in this league. For whatever reason, there was a disconnect between this coaching staff and Jahan. But, I know what a lot of you all are thinking, and I get it. Ron Rivera's first-round picks, Chase Young, basically done. Jamin Davis struggling to make even the roster on this team. I think he will, though. Jahan Dotson traded. Emmanuel Forbes, an atrocious rookie year. It's hard to go 0-for-4 with first-round picks over a four-year period, but he may be on the verge of doing that. And look, that 2022 draft, Charge, a lot of us were just, they had 11 overall, and they traded back to 16 with New Orleans. New Orleans took Chris Olave, Washington took Dotson, but the player to take, and a lot of us thought so in the moment, was Kyle Hamilton. He was a guy that they would have fit, you know, with what they needed defensively. He was there. They didn't pick him. Of course, the Ravens did, and he's a star already.
He is.
Maybe the best safety
in the league. And by the way, my Vikings also had the opportunity to take him, traded down, took a different safety named Lewis Seen, who's going to get cut, or very likely to get cut. Now, the hope here is that Dotson's trade is also a reflection that maybe Luke McCaffrey, maybe they really like what they've seen out of Luke McCaffrey so far, and they're looking, you know, half a season down the road, maybe even less, and going, you know what, Luke McCaffrey is going to be a starting outside receiver for our team. But Diami Brown's been heavily involved in the preseason as well.
And he has been in preseasons previously, but with a different regime and a different offensive coordinator, two different offensive coordinators. Mm-hmm. They like Zacchaeus a lot. I think Zacchaeus is penciled in as a guy that'll be on the field, you know, definitely, you know, 11 personnel, three wide receivers. I think it's Zacchaeus is the slot guy to start anyway. But yeah, it's probably Denton, it's Diami, Terry, it's Zacchaeus, certainly in week one, and Charch isn't wrong. There is a lot to like about McCaffrey. We haven't seen, you know, we haven't gotten the vibe yet that McCaffrey's just wowed everybody out there. But, you know, it's early, and he's got some size, and, you know, they went and got Martavis Bryant last week just because they wanted size. They've been fooling around with this wide receiver thing, you know. Terry's the only known entity right now, and they want to give Jaden Daniels as much as they can. But again, if you're just jumping on, Charch is with us in his first appearance of the year. But during the last few minutes, the news broke that Jahan Dotson's been traded to the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for 2 7ths and a third rounder. They had to give up a fifth rounder. The net of this trade, without doing the, you know, the Jimmy Johnson chart or any of the others, is they got a third rounder for Jahan Dotson. Remember, too, the Eagles and Washington have dealt a little bit with each other. They traded with Washington in the April draft up to one of their second round spots to take Cooper DeJean, the corner from Iowa, and Washington got an additional pick from the Eagles. So the Eagles and Washington, you know, it's like the olden days when they were trading for Donovan McNabb, which, by the way, Charge, there were red flags all over that one. Why would Andy Reid trade Donovan McNabb within the division if he thought he had something left, right?
Exactly. And then my Vikings went and traded for him after that. Knew that he was cooked.
We got a sixth rounder back from your Vikings for McNabb, and that sixth rounder became Alfred Morris.
No way. They had a nice little run with your squad.
He did.
Unfortunately, I need to run to Milwaukee, and I wish we could chat more, but we'll talk next week.
You got to roll. You participated in the Jahan. Just tell me one thing. Just give me one thing, a concern that people should have heading into their drafts.
Well, how about this? I think the toughest call in the first round is Bijan Robinson, who's clearly a tremendous talent, and this offense is going to be way better with Kirk Cousins, but all indications are Tyler Algier is going to eat into Robinson's workload, especially at the stripe, where last year Algier had twice as many carries as Robinson, and at the end of the day, fantasy players want touchdowns. So, you know, he's a guy going right in the middle of the first round. That is a boom or bust pick right there. And in the first round, I want a guy who's the focal point of my team's offense. Bijan Robinson might not be that this year. So I think that's one of the toughest decisions to get right in the first round.
Good call. Tyler Algier's really good, too. But so is Bijan Robinson. All right. Thanks. Yep. Next week, there'll still be some draft time. You know, we're still a week away from the from the regular season. But thanks for participating in the Jahan Dotson breaking news.
And we'll get our Guillotine League draft started before too long here as well.
I can't wait.
That's coming up, too.
Can't
all right. Thanks,
all right.
my man.
Thanks,
to you later,
Charge.
Kevin. Bye-bye.
Paul Charchin, everybody. All right, we'll open up phone lines for the news here that Jahan Dotson has been traded to the Eagles. Just, you know, your reaction to this, and what do you have now? It's got to be right now, based on what we've seen, the three receivers that we're going to see on the field in the opener, unless there is a big waiver wire pickup. And again, Washington's got second dibs on anybody that gets cut on Tuesday. Unless there's some big waiver wire release, it's going to be Diami, Terry, and Zacchaeus, I think, on the field primarily. Jahan Dotson traded to Philadelphia. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Your reaction to the breaking news next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. I want you to know that this last segment was presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
Well, it's been a busy day for the Commanders. The big news is they just traded Jahan Dotson and a 2025 fifth-round pick to the division rival Philadelphia Eagles for a 2025 third-round pick and two 2025 seventh-round picks. This is the second trade that Adam Peters has made with Philadelphia since taking over as the general manager this offseason. Along with that, they traded a conditional seventh-round pick to the Browns for kicker Cade York, who lost a kicking competition to former Commanders kicker Dustin Hopkins. Again, it's been a very busy day for the Commanders. Major League Baseball, Nats get back in the win column with a 6-1 win over the Colorado Rockies. And that's what's running.
Jahan Dotson traded to Philadelphia. That is the breaking news of the last 20 minutes. Not typical to have this kind of a trade. The net of it is about it basically comes down to they got a third rounder from Philadelphia in 2025 for Dotson. Washington sends Jahan Dotson and a fifth rounder to Philly in exchange for a 2025 third round pick and 2 7th rounders. So take the 2 7th rounders, kind of wipe it out with the fifth rounder, and you get left with a third rounder. For Jahan Dotson, a couple of things. Number one, this was clearly not a good fit personality-wise. This is the driving reason for them moving on from Jahan Dotson. We just heard it too much over and over again. Subtly, not directly from the coach, but perhaps the most indicting of his quotes was last week when he talked over and over again about competition and urgency and coming out of breaks, and when the ball isn't coming in your direction, still running the route to completion. I mean, anybody that's ever played sports or coached sports understands when a coach is essentially saying, I need you to hustle more. I need you on the floor diving for loose balls. That's what this staff wants. This is the culture they want to create. And for whatever reason, it was not working with Jahan Dotson. I personally think he's very talented. And I think there are people around the league that probably feel Jahan Dotson is talented. I think he can really stretch the field. I think he's an exceptional route runner. But they are establishing something here. And if you're not on board, you're out. Good for them to salvage a third round, essentially a third round pick for Jahan. I like that. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. They were never going to cut him. There was always going to be interested parties in Jahan. But the fact that they're trading him within the division means they're not overly concerned about being burned in this trade. Now, what do they have left? It's Diami, it's Zacchaeus, it's a guy like McCaffrey. You know, who knows right now what they think of, you know, Bryson Tremaine and potentially Bryant and Pringle, etc. I still will come back to this. Sorry for beating this dead horse for 4 months now, but I would love to put Brandon Ayuk's talent and ability on this roster. You know, he would become the true elite number one. Terry would be 1A, and you'd have one of the best wide receiver combinations in the league with McLaurin and Ayuk on the same team. I just think, you know, and we talked to Diana Russini about this the last couple of days, that ultimately the belief is there was interest in Brandon Ayuk, but the price tag, the 49ers asking price, was just too high. I wonder if it's too high now. I still think, and I would bet, that Ayuk ends up a 49er this year. And if he doesn't, it probably would be Pittsburgh. But I still would be interested in that. Clearly with the understanding, and that I wouldn't be interested if Adam Peters wasn't interested in the person they were getting. I don't know anything about Brandon Ayuk. Wasn't, you know, that impressed with some of his public contractual descriptions over the summer, and tying a lot of it to Jaden Daniels and this football team. I didn't think that was overly mature or impressive, but you know, Adam Peters knows the player, and if he's steering clear of the player, okay, I'm fine with that. But a lot of the reporting was Washington did have interest in Ayuk. So if they had any kind of interest at any point in time, well, then maybe they were okay with Ayuk the person. Clearly okay with him as the player. And maybe it is just the asking price from the 49ers. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Your reaction to the breaking news here of the last 25 minutes, last half hour, that Washington has unloaded Jahan Dotson to the Philadelphia Eagles for essentially netting it out a third-round pick in 2025. Let's go to Jason. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, Kev. Technical Concert Show, as always.
Thanks.
You know, my initial reaction is I'll still get his ring. But, you know, look, I like you, have a lot of faith in the people that are running this organization now. I am overwhelmingly still assured that we have people. You know, Dan Quinn has actually kind of gone out of his way the last couple of times he's talked about Don Dotson, saying good things about him. Can they trade him just to get trade value? But I don't think this is the group that's going to sour anybody publicly and you know, beat him up. I you know, coolest breakdown. I was kind of excited about your Dotson.
Hey, Jason, your phone's not great. You keep kind of coming in and out a little bit there.
Sorry,
but
Jeff.
Yeah, you know, so something that you said, you know, that at times that, you know, the head coach was the head coach is never going to be critical publicly of a player that they may want to move. That would be stupid, right? You would never directly be critical of a player that you anticipate moving on from. So it was always a subtle, you know, kind of read between the lines on why Jahan Dotson had the most snaps in the first preseason game and was the skill position player that was on the field longer than anybody else, playing well into the third quarter with four different quarterbacks. It was always kind of lumped together with all of the players there, still trying to figure out, want to see the competition, want to see the urgency. Now, some of those answers that he gave were specific to questions asked about Jahan Dotson and nobody else. So you had to kind of read between the lines, talk to a few people here and there, but you're never going to get, you know, the head coach, if he's smart, and I think this one is, to publicly, you know, go hard on a player that you're going to move. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin in Arlington. Kev, what's up?
Hey, Kev, repeat after me. Justin Herbert, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, Kyle Hamilton, and Christian Gonzalez. Now, honestly, I wanted Tua, but I wanted the other three, and they were all there. I mean, I could have done a better job than Ron and the Marty Party. Thank God he's not getting his Super Bowl ring, from the roster he put together.
yeah, that is that's true. If there is a Super Bowl ring to have to get, it won't be. And you know what's so funny, Kev? We've talked about this a million times. The best players on his roster during the 4 years were players that were already here. Daron, John, and Terry.
Yeah, it's incredible. Please tell me that Martin Mayhew just gets coffee now for Adam, okay? I mean, I love Martin. He was a Super Bowl winner. Great, okay? But my God. Now, on the flip side, we're going to start a tally of the who wins, Adam Peters or Howie Roseman, right? I mean, like you said, there's already been some deals. It's going to be fascinating to watch because, to me, Roseman set the standard. And I think Peters is closing in on him. And so I'm, you know, all of that's in the past. But, oh, my God, there's never been. I was trying to think, was the four-year stretch of Desmond Howard, Heath Shuler, Michael Westbrook, and Andre Johnson worse? I mean, we've had two.
It wasn't good. The 2008 draft might be the worst draft in NFL history.
Yeah. Well,
you know, seriously. So look, the draft is hard, but
it is.
Chase Young wasn't hard. I'll never, ever knock him for that. I think Tua's hip injury was a big issue for a lot of teams, and not everybody was in love with Herbert. I think pretty much every team in the league that was, you know, struggling on defense with pass rush would have taken Chase Young. But Jamin Davis.
They missed something with Young because he's never.
They clearly did. No doubt. But
he loves the life. He doesn't love the game. And they missed that.
They did. You're right. You're right about that. All right, Kev. Thanks. Everybody on hold, stay there. All right. 301-230-0980. We've got a line open as well. Your reaction to the breaking news that Jahan Dotson was just traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. Washington gave up Dotson and a fifth. They got back a third rounder and 2 7th rounders. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Jahan Dotson traded to Philadelphia. That is the breaking news of the last 20 minutes. Not typical to have this kind of a trade. The net of it is about, it basically comes down to they got a third rounder from Philadelphia in 2025 for Dotson. Washington sends Jahan Dotson and a fifth rounder to Philly in exchange for a 2025 third round pick and 2 7th rounders. So take the 2 7th rounders, kind of wipe it out with the fifth rounder, and you get left with a third rounder. For Jahan Dotson. A couple of things. Number one, this was clearly not a good fit personality-wise. This is the driving reason for them moving on from Jahan Dotson. We just heard it too much over and over again. Subtly, not directly from the coach, but perhaps the most indicting of his quotes was last week when he talked over and over again about competition and urgency and coming out of breaks, and when the ball isn't coming in your direction, still running the route to completion. I mean, anybody that's ever played sports or coached sports understands when a coach is essentially saying, I need you to hustle more. I need you on the floor diving for loose balls. That's what this staff wants. This is the culture they want to create. And for whatever reason, it was not working with Jahan Dotson. I personally think he's very talented. And I think there are people around the league that probably feel Jahan Dotson is talented. I think he can really stretch the field. I think he's an exceptional route runner. But they are establishing something here. And if you're not on board, you're out. Good for them to salvage a third round, essentially a third round pick for Jahan. I like that. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. They were never going to cut him. There was always going to be interested parties in Jahan. But the fact that they're trading him within the division means they're not overly concerned about being burned in this trade. Now, what do they have left? It's Diami, it's Zacchaeus, it's a guy like McCaffrey. You know, who knows right now what they think of, you know, Bryson Tremaine and potentially Bryant and Pringle, et cetera. I still will come back to this. Sorry for beating this dead horse for 4 months now, but I would love to put Brandon Ayuk's talent and ability on this roster. You know, he would become the true elite number one. Terry would be 1A. And you'd have one of the best wide receiver combinations in the league with McLaurin and Ayuk on the same team. I just think, you know, and we talked to Diana Russini about this the last couple of days, that ultimately the belief is there was interest in Brandon Ayuk, but the price tag, the 49ers asking price, was just too high. I wonder if it's too high now. I still think, and I would bet, that Ayuk ends up a 49er this year. And if he doesn't, it probably would be Pittsburgh. But I still would be interested in that. Clearly with the understanding and that I wouldn't be interested if Adam Peters wasn't interested in the person they were getting. I don't know anything about Brandon Ayuk. Wasn't, you know, that impressed with some of his public contractual descriptions over the summer and tying a lot of it to Jaden Daniels and this football team. I didn't think that was overly mature or impressive, but you know, Adam Peters knows the player, and if he's steering clear of the player, okay, I'm fine with that. But a lot of the reporting was Washington did have interest in Ayuk. So if they had any kind of interest at any point in time, well, then maybe they were okay with Ayuk, the person. Clearly okay with him as the player. And maybe it is just the asking price from the 49ers. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Your reaction to the breaking news here of the last 25 minutes, last half hour, that Washington has unloaded Jahan Dotson to the Philadelphia Eagles for essentially netting it out a third-round pick in 2025. Let's go to Jason. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, Kev. Technical Concert Show, as always.
Thanks.
You know, my initial reaction is I'll still get his ring. But, you know, look, I like you, have a lot of faith in the people that are running this organization now. I am overwhelmingly still assured that we have people. You know, Dan Quinn has actually kind of gone out of his way the last couple of times he's talked about Don Dotson, saying good things about him. And they trade him just to get trade value. But I don't think this is the group that's going to sour anybody publicly and you know, beat him up. I you know, Cooley's breakdown, I was kind of excited about your Dotson.
Hey, Jason, your phone's not great. You keep kind of coming in and out a little bit there. Yeah, you know, something that you said, you know, that at times that, you know, the head coach was the head coach is never going to be critical publicly of a player that they may want to move. That would be stupid, right? You would never directly be critical of a player that you anticipate moving on from. So it was always a subtle, you know, kind of read between the lines on why Jahan Dotson had the most snaps in the first preseason game and was the skill position player that was on the field longer than anybody else, playing well into the third quarter with four different quarterbacks. It was always kind of lumped together with all of the players there, still trying to figure out, want to see the competition, want to see the urgency. Now, some of those answers that he gave were specific to questions asked about Jahan Dotson and nobody else. So you had to kind of read between the lines, talk to a few people here and there, but you're never going to get, you know, the head coach, if he's smart, and I think this one is, to publicly, you know, go hard on a player that you're going to move. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin in Arlington. Kev, what's up?
Hey, Kev, repeat after me. Justin Herbert, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, Kyle Hamilton, and Christian Gonzalez. Now, honestly, I wanted Tua, but I wanted the other three, and they were all there. I mean, I could have done a better job than Ron and the Marty Party. Thank God he's not getting his Super Bowl ring from the roster he put together.
yeah, that is, that's true. If there is a Super Bowl ring to have, to get, it won't be. And you know what's so funny, Kev? We've talked about this a million times. The best players on his roster during the 4 years were players that were already here. Duron, John, and Terry.
Yeah, it's incredible. Please tell me that Martin Mayhew just gets coffee now for Adam, okay? I mean, I love Martin. He was a Super Bowl winner. Great, okay? But my God. Now, on the flip side, we're going to start a tally of the who wins, Adam Peters or Howie Roseman, right? I mean, like you said, there's already been some deals. It's going to be fascinating to watch because, to me, Roseman set the standard. And I think Peters is closing in on him. And so I'm, you know, all of that's in the past. But, oh, my God, there's never been. I was trying to think, was the four-year stretch of Desmond Howard, Heath Shuler, Michael Westbrook, and Andre Johnson worse? I mean, we've had two years.
It wasn't good. The 2008 draft might be the worst draft in NFL history.
Oh. Yeah. Well,
you know, seriously. So we've
Yeah.
Look, the draft is hard, but
it is. is.
Chase Young wasn't hard. I'll never, ever knock him for that. I think Tua's hip injury was a big issue for a lot of teams, and not everybody was in love with Herbert. I think pretty much every team in the league that was, you know, struggling on defense with pass rush would have taken Chase Young. But Jamin Davis...
They missed something with Young because he's never.
They clearly did, no doubt. But
he loves the life. He doesn't love the game, and they missed
yeah.
that.
They did. You're right. You're right about that. All right, Kev. Thanks. Everybody on hold, stay there. All right. 301-230-0980. We've got a line open as well. Your reaction to the breaking news that Jahan Dotson was just traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. Washington gave up Dotson and a fifth. They got back a third rounder and 2 7th rounders. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.